إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we are in our fifth session from the book of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Wasiyyah Al-Sughra, yani the concise legacy or advice. And the topic tonight is primarily centered around those things through which the harmful effects or consequences of disobedience to Allah can be removed. That is, at-tawbah and al-istighfar and the doing of good deeds that remove evil deeds. Before we enter into our topic tonight, we want to look back at some of the points that we dealt with last week from the study guide number 4. Quickly, the first question being, explain briefly the first of the two notes made by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah showing the importance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wasiyyah to Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu, i.e. its comprehensiveness. Yani, explain briefly the first of the two notes that show the importance of the Prophet's wasiyyah to Mu'adh, that is, its comprehensiveness. Naam, Abu Kamil.
Said that it comprises within it the haqq of Allah and the haqq of the Abd. The haqq upon Allah, for Allah and the haqq of the Abd.
Yani the wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam includes, it comprises, yani, all of the responsibilities that are upon the human being. The right, the haqq of Allah, and the rights of the human beings. Yani, so it covers all of the responsibilities that a human being is responsible for. Is there anything else we can add to that? And also, yani, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said that, naam, salih. Okay, and the other point, the two points, was that, yani, this wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is comprehensive, and the second point was that this wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an explanation of the Quranic wasiyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised the whole of humanity with. As far as the comprehensiveness of the wasiyah of the Prophet, one of the points that the Shaykh mentions is that it comprises all of the responsibilities of the human being, the rights of Allah and the rights of the human being. Naam. Ahmed.
So he said it's tahqiq. It confirms that the hajat of the abd to fear Allah in sirra wa
alif. Naam. That this word, yani, ittaqillah, the Prophet ﷺ didn't suffice with this word, but he added to it, حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. And this expression, حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, is a kalima jamia. And it's a comprehensive word, because what? Because of what, Ahmed?
It
confirms the need of the human being to observe taqwa of Allah, yani, sirran wa'alaniya, whether that person is alone in secret or if they're in public at all times. Yani, this word حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ, we're going to talk about in detail tonight, but it confirms, and this is part of its comprehensiveness, that the observance of taqwa of Allah is at all times in every situation or circumstance. حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. The second question, discuss the two ways mentioned by the author rahimahullah in which one falls short in fulfilling the duties upon him or her. The two ways that a person falls short in fulfilling duties. Musa.
The servant by falling short that in that which he is commanded, or by leaving that, or by by doing that which is prohibited or
Naam.
By living that which is prohibited?
Naam. That every person, no matter how much they try to observe taqwa of Allah, they will still fall short. Either in one of these two areas. Either in doing something that is prohibited or in failing to fulfill something that has been made obligatory. In one of these areas. No one will be free from falling short to some extent in these two sides. The third question, discuss briefly Shaykh Abdul Razak's explanation of the murad. What is the intended meaning of at-taqwa and al-wiqaya? What did the Shaykh say is the intended meaning of at-taqwa? Not the definition of Talq ibn Habib. The intended, what is the murad, the maqsood of this word at-taqwa, and what is the intended meaning of the word al-wiqaya? Naam, Salih. Naam. That the person that you should what? Yani taj'al baynaka wa bayna ma takhshahu. Yani place between you and that which you fear of the punishment or the wrath of Allah. Yani the punishment that you fear from Allah, place between you and that punishment wiqaya. A wiqaya, a protective shield, taqiqa, that will protect you. Yani the meaning of taqwa, he said the intended meaning of it is that you place a shield between yourself and that thing which you fear, the punishment of Allah, and that shield, yani, should be the protection for you. And what is meant by the wiqaya? What is intended by this? The wiqaya, he said, it means what? Naam?
By you doing that which you are commanded and living that which you are broken.
Naam, doing the thing that you are commanded. Yani, fi'l al-ma'amur bi. Wa-tark al-manhi anhu. Doing that which you have been commanded and leaving that which you have been prohibited. This is the shield. If a person does what Allah has commanded, and they avoid that which Allah has prohibited, that will be a shield that will be between them and the punishment of Allah and the wrath of Allah and the anger of Allah. They will be protected from that. How? By being obedient to Allah, by fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. What better shield? After this, memorize, yani this requires some memorization, right? Memorize Talq ibn Habib rahimahullah's two-line definition of the word at-taqwa, enumerating its 6 points. Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah, scholar from the Tabi'een. Naam, Abu Jamil.
He said, أن تعمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله
رجاء
ثواب الله وأن تترك معصية الله على نور من الله خيفة عذاب الله.
جيد, أحسنت, ما شاء الله. طيب, anybody else memorize it? One? Anybody else? Two? Tayyib. Tayyib, somebody tell me, what are the 6 points that he mentioned here, starting from the beginning of the definition? And he said what? أن تعمل bi ta'atillah. Meaning, that's the first point. That a person should act upon obedience to Allah. And he should actively engage in obedience to Allah. على نور من الله. Based upon that obedience, that action of obedience is based upon a light from Allah. Raja. Thawab Allah. That's the third point. Hoping for the reward of Allah. And the second line of the definition, what? And tatruka ma'asiyat Allah. That's point number four, right? To leave off disobedience to Allah, ala nurun min Allah, based upon a light from Allah, based upon knowledge. Yani, khifata adhab Allah. Fearing the punishment of Allah. And this, many of the scholars of Islam, including Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Rajab, and a lot of the scholars, Ibn Qayyim, said that this definition is the best definition of at-taqwa. Because what? It includes obedience to Allah, acting upon obedience to Allah, and avoiding disobedience to Allah based on knowledge from Allah. Ala nur min Allah. Hoping, yani doing acts of obedience, hoping for Allah's reward, and avoiding disobedience, fearing Allah's punishment. Naam. After this, discuss the significance or importance of the expression Nur min Allah in both lines of this definition of at-taqwa. What is the significance of the definition, of this part of the definition? Yani to act upon obedience to Allah, to avoid disobedience to Allah, ala nur min Allah. What is the meaning of ala nur min Allah? Naam.
An-nur
is al-ilm. Is knowledge. Naam. What else can we say about it? Naam, Musa.
أن تكون على علم بالمعمور به وبالمنهي
عنه. Naam. That a person is upon knowledge, is upon light, knowledge of what we have been commanded and what we have been prohibited. Yani not guessing what we have been commanded, but having knowledge of what we have actually been commanded, knowing for a fact what Allah has commanded, and knowing for a fact what Allah has prohibited. So therefore, now. How can a person protect themselves from what they don't know? Yani, how can you fulfill a command that you don't know? How can you avoid a prohibition that you don't know? So the Shaykh, he said what? So the person has to seek knowledge of what we have been commanded so that he can act upon it. And a person has to seek knowledge of what we have been prohibited so that he can avoid it, so that he can leave it. This is the meaning of ala nur min Allah. After this, discuss what is intended by the expression حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ يعني اتَّقِ اللَّهِ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ Fear Allah حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ wherever you are. And why is this so necessary? What is the meaning of حَيْثُ? What is the significance? What is the importance? What is the meaning of حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ? Now,
The servant stick to obedience to Allah wherever
you لازم تَقْوَ اللَّهِ يُلَازِمُهَا. Now, all the time sticking to adhering to the taqwa of Allah.
Resident on a journey,
secret, public, huh? Day and night, every situation and circumstance. Yeah, he said what? Fi kulli awqatihi, at all times. Wa jami' ahwalihi, in every situation or circumstance. Fi jami' umurihi, in every affair of his. At all times, in every situation or circumstance. This is the meaning of the significance of حيث ما كنت. And why is it so important? Abdul Rahman? Because wherever you may be, Allah sees you. In every situation or circumstance, Allah sees you. Therefore, you must observe taqwa of Allah at all times, in all affairs, in every situation or circumstance. Question number 7. Summarize the meaning of the expression and follow up an evil deed with a good deed. Yani, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. What is the meaning of follow up a good deed with an evil deed? Or follow up an evil deed with a good deed. Now. Now, nobody in the back? Fadlu, ya Salih. There's no doubt that people are going to fall short in observing taqwa of Allah and fulfilling the duty to Allah. Therefore, hasten. That's the key word, hasten. Hasten to do a good deed after they have fallen into error. Hasten. Yani atbi', the Shaykh said atbi', follow, it means here what? Sari', badir. Yani mubasharatan. Hasten, quickly. Don't think about, I committed a sin, I'll do a good deed next week for it. No. Badir. Sari'. Hasten to follow up the doing of an evil deed with a good deed. Hasten in doing it. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. Don't say, I will do it later. لا تصوف ولا تؤخر. Discuss, number 8, discuss the author, rahimahullah's comparison between the above command, yani to follow up an evil deed with a good deed, and a doctor's prescription. A doctor's prescription. What is the comparison here, the Shaykh al-Salam Taymiyyah makes between this command of the Prophet to follow up an evil deed with a good deed, and the doctor's wasfa, yani a prescription of a doctor. What is the comparison he's making here? Anybody remember? Naam, Abu Jamil.
He said that when a person gets sick and they go to the doctor prescribes that which is going to fix the situation.
Naam, if a person gets sick and they go to the doctor, they got sick from what? From consuming something that was harmful to them. So they go to the doctor, he gives a prescription to do what? To remove the harm of what they have consumed. To remove that harm. And how is this related to the command of the Prophet ﷺ to follow up an evil deed with a good deed?
The doctors of the
heart. Because this is the prescription of atibba al kulub. This is not the prescription of the doctor in Woodhull Hospital who gives you some pills or something. This is the prescription of the atibba al kulub, the doctors of the heart. Because the hearts get sick just as the bodies get sick. And when the heart gets sick, the limbs follow by doing evil deeds or failing to perform obligatory duties. So the prescription here is what? The harm that you have done to yourself in failing to fulfill your obligatory duties or engaging in that which Allah has prohibited, the harm that you have done to yourself that affects your heart and then it affects the rest of your being. That harm is removed by what? By the prescription of the Prophet ﷺ. When you do an evil deed that causes harm to you, then the cure for it, to remove the harmful effects of that evil deed, the punishment that comes with it, the way to remove it is what? Follow up an evil deed with a good deed. تَمْحُهَا It will remove it. Naam.
So depending on what type of evil deed that you have done, so you might need more of...
Naam. The Shaykh says sometimes he may tell you to take it morning and night, or may take it 10 times a day or something, right? Depending on the condition. So how often should we be doing good deeds? Any day and night, day and night. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that you are sinning by day and night. And there is no one who forgives sins except Allah. So seek forgiveness of Allah frequently. After this, the author rahimahullah says, Al-Qayyis, the intelligent, wise person, is the one who, complete the statement. Al-Qayyis is the one who what? طيب يا فضل موسى
يجاهد نفسه على الإكثار من الحسنات.
يعني the one يجاهد نفسه على الإكثار من الحسنات. The person who forces himself, his lower self, يعني that's resistant, that's lazy, forces it himself to increase in doing of good deeds. And he also said, يعني شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية said what?
الكيس هو الذي لا يزال يأتي من الحسنات يمحو بما يمحو.
Sayyat. Yani that the kayyis is the person who la yazalu ya'ti. Yani he continuously, ongoing, continues to do the good deeds through which evil deeds are erased. Yani meaning that what? Yani la yazalu, the Shaykh said the meaning of la yazalu here means yastakthiru, that he does a lot of good deeds. Or yujahid nafsahu ala al ikthar min al hasanat. That he forces himself to do more and more good deeds. This is the kayyis. This is the wise person, the intelligent person, who knows that they are sinning by day and by night. Therefore, what is the cure for this? Take a lot of medicine. Yani meaning, do a lot of good deeds, as much as you can, dhikr and dua, and charity and prayer and fasting and reading Quran and joining the good and forbid. All the good deeds that you are capable of doing, be constantly engaged in doing good deeds. The last question, explain briefly why the word asiyya, evil deed, is mentioned before al-hasana in the above hadith. Yani why did the Prophet ﷺ say atbi'i as-sayya al-hasana? Why does the word as-sayya mentioned before al-hasana? What is the yani significance of this, Sali?
The word as-sayya is mentioned before al-hasana, although it's a maf'ul, the word has to be followed by that, the bad deed is to be followed by the bad deed is to be followed by the good deed. But it's mentioned first because the emphasis is on deleting or erasing the bad deed.
Yeah, it's mentioned first because the emphasis, the maqsood here, is not simply do good deeds. Rather, the point is remove your evil deeds. How do you remove them? By doing good deeds. But the point is not simply, the Prophet ﷺ is not simply saying do good deeds. That's fine, naam. But that's not the point here. The point here is that you have committed sins. And so the Prophet is saying remove the consequences of those sins. That's what he's saying. So he mentions sins first. Because he's saying remove the effects of your sins by doing good deeds. So in this sentence the meaning is like tamhu al-hasanatu as-sayyata. Yani tamhu is the fi'l. Al-hasanatu is the fa'il that's doing something, and as-sayyata is the maf'ulun bi that the good deed is acting upon to remove it. Tamhuha. Yani tamhuha here, the meaning of it is what? So that it, meaning the good deed, will erase it, meaning the evil deed. In any case, this is a linguistic issue, but the point is, yani that the Prophet ﷺ expressed this in this way for a reason, for a purpose, and that is because he's emphasizing here not just the doing of good deeds, but rather what he's emphasizing is be conscious of removing the consequences of your sins. Okay, today, inshallah, in the Arabic explanation of this book of Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, afidahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, we're reading from page 20, from the Arabic explanation of the book, page 20, yani after the first paragraph, yani about one third of the way down the page, where he says, قال رحمه الله تعالى. Yani this is what occurred yani immediately after the discussion about the word as-sayyi'ah coming before hasana. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned here another hadith with similar wording. That is, the Prophet ﷺ said, pour upon it, the urine, or the man who urinated in the corner of the masjid, said, pour upon it a bucket of water. And he mentioned it, the urine, first, because the intent is what? To remove the filth of the urine by way of the water that you pour upon it. After mentioning that, then he said, قَالَ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَيَنْبَغِي أَن تَكُونَ الْحَسَنَةُ مِنْ جِنْسِ السَّيِّئَاتِ فَإِنَّهُ أَبْلَغُ فِي الْمَحْوِ. And here Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, what comes, the next lines that come, is all from the text of the book, from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah himself. And when we reach the explanation, I will mention that now we're going to discuss the explanation of this meaning. This is from the text of the book, from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. He said, وَيَنْبَغِي أَن تَكُونَ الْحَسَنَةُ مِنْ جِنْسِ السَّيِّئَاتِ فَإِنَّهُ أَبْلَغُ فِي الْمَحْوِ. Yani that it is يَنْبَغِي, it is necessary, or it is becoming, or it is befitting, or desirable. It is desirable, yambaghi, that the, it is desirable that the hasana that you bring to follow up the evil deed with, to erase it, it is appropriate, it is desirable, it is befitting that that hasana be of the jins, the same type, the same kind, the same, yani, nature, alaykum salam, of the sayyi'ah. Yani it should be similar in kind, from the same type of action, as the evil deed that you want to remove by it. And he will explain. For indeed this is more effective, ablagh, it's more far reaching in removing the evil, if it comes from the same type. وَالذَّنْبُ يَزُولُ مُوجَبُهَا مُوجَبُهَا بِأَشْيَاء. And the sins, الذنوب, there are a number of things that remove the result or the consequence, mujabuha. And if the consequence of the sin, there are a number of things that can remove those consequences. Ahaduha at-tawbah. One of them is repentance. Al-thani al-istighfar min ghayri tawbah. And the second of them is seeking forgiveness without repenting. Yani seeking forgiveness that's not inclusive of repentance. Yani repentance is one thing, istighfar is another thing altogether. And this is very important, because some people think that that repentance is it. There's no such thing as just asking Allah forgiveness unless you repent. Rather, repentance is one thing and istighfar is another thing altogether. And so Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah is saying here what? That the first of them, or one of them, the things that remove the consequences of sins, is tawbah, repentance. And the second of them is istighfar, even if the person didn't repent. Asking Allah's forgiveness, even if you didn't repent. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَدْ يَغْفِرُ لَهُ إِجَابَةً لِدُعَائِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَتُوبُ. Here Shaykh al-Islam says what? For indeed Allah the Most High, قَدْ يَغْفِرُ. يعني قَدْ here, يعني the word قَدْ, if it's used with the past tense, it means definiteness. If it's used with the mudari, it means perhaps. Perhaps, قَدْ يَغْفِرُ, perhaps Allah will forgive. Perhaps, not definitely, not all the time, but perhaps Allah may forgive the person, إِجَابَةً, in answering to his supplication. Yani the person supplicated Allah, oh Allah forgive me. Perhaps Allah will answer him. Allah will forgive him because he answered his dua. Even, وَإِنْ لَمْ يَتُوبُ, even if he didn't repent. Yani meaning he didn't stop doing it. He didn't feel remorse for it. He didn't make resolve not to go back to it again. He just said, oh Allah forgive me. Sincerely, oh Allah forgive me. I sinned, please forgive me. Allah might answer him and forgive him without even repenting. This shows the greatness and the magnitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا اجْتَمَأَتْ التَّوْبَ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارُ فَهُوَ الْكَمَالُ. But here Shaykh al-Islam says what? But if they are combined, both tawbah and istighfar, yani a person what? Stopping what they're doing, feeling remorse for it, and making resolve not to go back to it again, and then, in addition to that, asking Allah to forgive them. If a person combines both of them, فَهُوَ الْكَمَالُ, this is the perfection, what is complete and perfect. That a person should not only ask Allah's forgiveness, although if they ask sincerely, Allah may forgive them, just with that alone. But what's better than that is to ask Allah's forgiveness and to repent with its conditions. والثالث هو الأعمال الصالحة المكفرة. And the third of the things that remove the harmful effects of sins, the first of them being tawbah, the second of them being seeking forgiveness even if you didn't repent, and the third of them are the righteous deeds al-mukaffira, which expiate for sins, and it which remove the consequences of sins, righteous deeds. And here Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, "Imma kaffarat muqaddara," yani either they are kaffarat, things that expiate for sins, that are muqaddara, yani specific, determined, specified, yani things that are specific for certain types of sins, muqaddara, as it is with the person who has sex with his spouse, with the person who has sex with their spouse in Ramadan, in the daytime, al-mujami'u fi Ramadan, or the person, the man who says to his wife, "You are to me like the back of my mother," meaning he doesn't divorce her, but he doesn't have relations with her. Or the person who commits some of the mahdhurat, the prohibited things during Hajj, or they abandon some of the obligatory deeds during Hajj, or they kill land game while they're in ihram. All of these things may be expiated, and yukaffir bil kaffarat al muqaddara, with specified, specific, limited, determined, yani expiations. And these have specific things that relieve a person of it. The person does these acts, there's specific things that you have to do to escape from the consequences. وَهِيَ أَرْبَعَةُ أَجْنَاسِ. And these are four types of things that are specific, yani expiations. هَدْيٌ, yani making a sacrifice. اتقن, yani freeing a slave. صَدَقَةٌ, giving charity. وَسِيَامٌ. These are the things that are mentioned for these types of things. The person who has sex with their wife in the daytime during Ramadan, or the person who says to his wife that you are like me to the back of, like the back of my mother, or the person who commits some act during Hajj that's prohibited, or fails to do obligatory duty, there are specific things from amongst these four. It's either you have to make a sacrifice, free a slave, give charity, or fasting. And the details of this are in the books of fiqh. This is what al-kafarat al-muqaddara. And the second thing, wa'imma al-kafarat al-mutlaqa, yani the other type of expiation is not specified, it's general expiations, yani unspecified, unrestricted expiations. كما قال حذيفة لعمر, as حذيفة said to Umar bin Khattab رضي الله عنه, هما, may Allah be pleased with both of them, he said, فتنة الرجل في أهله وماله وولده يكفرها, and some of the narration of Bukhari said, وجاره, وجاري, yani the fitna that a man falls into, the trial or tribulation, or yani test that the man falls into in reference to his family, his wealth, his child, or his neighbor, yukaffiruha, it is expiated by salat, by siyam, by sadaqah, by enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. These things are examples of the types of good deeds that expiate, that are general expiations for a person's sins. And he's just making salat, or giving charity, or fasting, or enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. These are examples. But all good deeds in general can expiate for sins. In general. And it is a kafarat al-mutlaqa. Here Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, وَقَدْ دَلَّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْقُرْآنُ وَالْحَدِيثَ الصِّحَاءُ فِي التَّكْفِيرُ بِالصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ وَالْجُمُعَةِ وَالصِّيَامِ وَالْحَجِ وَسَائِرِ الْأَعْمَالِ الَّتِي يُقَالُ فِيهَا. يعني here, he says that this point, that sins may be expiated by good deeds in general, is indicated in the Quran and in the authentic hadith that the expiation may take place because of the five prayers. Any person prays the five prayers in this, expiation of sins. And we know the hadith concerning this. Or one Jum'ah to the next. Or fasting. Or Hajj. Any making Hajj, expiation of sins. Or Sa'ir al-Amal. And the rest of the deeds which it has been said concerning them, whoever does such and such, whoever does such and such action, he will be forgiven for. يعني غفر له, he will achieve forgiveness, or he will be forgiven what has preceded of his sins, يعني the sins that he did in the past. And there are a lot of hadith say whoever did this, whoever said this, whoever such and such, then he will be forgiven his previous sins. And these are many acts for the one who receives them from the sunan, يعني from the books of sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially ما صنف في فضائل الأعمال, especially the books that have been written concerning فضائل الأعمال, يعني the deeds that are virtuous. The virtuous deeds. There are a lot of books, and the scholars have written in the past concerning virtuous deeds, and these are the books that specifically deal with this type of matter. And this is the end of this section of the book, of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah concerning yani trying to follow up an evil deed with a good deed of the same type, and that the expiation of deeds or the things that remove the harmful effects of sins are many. From amongst them are tawbah, and from amongst them are seeking forgiveness even if you didn't repent, and from amongst them are righteous deeds, specified ones that expiate and general ones. After this, the Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, begins to explain the text. Allahumma musta'an. Ya rahmakullah. He said, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and then he makes dua for him, Allahumma jizi Ibn Taymiyyah khayran wa ahsan ilayhi. May Allah reward him with good and yani treat him well. Yani do good by him, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He said that he says, وَيَنْبَغِي أَن تَكُونُ الْحَسَنَةُ مِنْ جِنْسِ السَّيِّئَةِ, yani that it is appropriate, it is befitting, it is desirable that when you follow up an evil deed with a good deed, it should be of the same jins, of the same type, of the same sort as the sin that you committed. And the Shaykh says, Abdul Razak, لَيْسَ هَذَا بِلَازِمٍ, this is not a necessity that it has to be of the same type. This is not a necessity. لَيْسَ بِلَازِمٍ, yani لَيْسَ مَا يُكَفِّرُ السَّيِّئَةَ لَبُدَّ أَن تَكُونُ مِنْ جِنْسِيَةٍ. And it's not a necessity that the thing that expiates sins has to be of the same type, of the same sort. However, the expiation of sins by that which is of the same type, the good deed that's of the same type, is awla wa ahra wa ajda. And it is more befitting, it is more appropriate, it is more effective. That is, it's of the same type. However, it's not a necessity. Any kinds of good deeds can work, but those which are of the same sort are better and more appropriate and more befitting. So the servant of Allah, the Abd, should increase in this one and that one. That which is of the same type as the sin they committed, or other than that, but do a lot of it. He should strive against himself to do good deeds of the same type of the error or the mistake or the sin that he committed. For example, what do we mean by the same type? He said, for example, the person erred in what? Uquqan, yani disobedience to parents. This is one of the worst of the major sins, disobedience to parents. And that includes even if the parents are not Muslims, as long as they didn't tell you to do something in disobedience to Allah. Disobedience to parents is a major sin. Say, for example, a person who has been disobedient to their parents. For example, then that person would do what? Birru waliday. Yani they will be dutiful and kind and generous to their parents. To make up, this is of the same type. The type of sin was what? Disobedience to parents. So the type of good deed is what? Being kind and dutiful and obedient to parents. That's the meaning of the same jins, same type. Okay? The person was disobedient to parents, so they erase it by what? By being dutiful to their parents. وَيَسْتَكْثِرُ مِنْهُ. And they try to do it a lot. Even to the extent, for example, that some of the people continue in disobedience to their parents until one of their parents dies. The Shaykh says, nonetheless, the opportunity for doing good by them still remains, even after they have passed away. Even after the parent has passed away. So that person should try to increase من أبواب البر لوالدين, يعني doing the things that are considered بر والدين, dutifulness and goodness to parents. And also the other fields of إحسان, of doing good, even if their parent had already passed away. يعني this is, for example, if the disobedience was in this was, I mean, if the sin was disobedience, yani being disobedient to parents, then the way it is erased, the best way to erase it, is by being dutiful to them, or being kind and generous and charitable to those who are near to them. Whether it was your mother or your father's brother or sister or relative or somebody that they love, their best friend, being kind to them is being kind to your parent who has passed away. So if the mistake or the sin was ghiba, backbiting a person, or namima, yani tail carrying, in which the person caused bad relations between two people, then it is necessary that the person should bring some good deeds that are like it, so that it may expiate for that. And for example, the person should rectify the bad relations between those people that they spoiled relations with, causing them to be cut off from one another. They should fix the relation. They should try to reconcile between those people. The effect of them cutting them off or causing disunity or any bad relations between them. This is a good deed, rectifying between them, that erases that type of sin. If a person had backbitten somebody, then they should do what? عمل العثناء عليه وذكره. That person should come behind that to try to rectify it and speak good of that person. Speak good of that person. Say good things. Whatever they know good about, mention them with goodness. And even asking that person to pardon them. Even if they didn't do it directly. Meaning, even if they didn't come to the person and say, I was backbiting you, and I said this about you. Even if they didn't do it directly, but they do it indirectly. Yani, they ask the person for pardon indirectly. Yani, if the result of telling them that indeed I have been backbiting you, and I said concerning you this and that, so, yani, pardon me. If the result of that would be a mafsada, yani, would cause further harm, if you told them that you did this to them, and you said this about them, then it's not necessary to actually tell them that you were backbiting them, or that you had said such and such about them, but just generally say to them, I have fallen short in your rights, and it's, yani, everybody is falls short, everybody errs, and you are a generous, a kind, a good man, so please pardon me. Yani, without saying specifically what you had done, but I've fallen short in reference to you, so please pardon me, you are a good man. Or something like this kind of expression. Then praise that person and mention them with khair. Here, the Shaykh Abdul Razak says, أنت بحاجت إلى هذه الحسنات. Yani, you. And when I say you, I mean myself first, right? But you, I mean. I don't mean the other person sitting next to you or behind you. I mean you, who are sitting here or not sitting here. You are in need. You are in need of these good deeds. Otherwise, a person will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah carrying these sins. And it will be taken from their sahifa, their record of their good deeds. Any of the good deeds they've done, it will be taken from them because of the what they have done to other people. And this is as in the hadith of Al-Muflis, the bankrupt one. And in that hadith, and the Shaykh just mentioned it in passing without really mentioning the text of the hadith, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنَ الْمُفْلِسِ. He said to them, his companions, do you know who is the muflis? They said, the bankrupt person is the person who doesn't have the dirhams and dinars. He doesn't have any money. He's the bankrupt person. The Prophet ﷺ said, no. Al-muflis alladhi ya'ati bi salatin wa siyamin wa sadaqa wa ya'ati wa qad shatama hadha wa qadhafa hadha wa akhadha ma'ala hadha wa darba hadha fayu'akhad min hasanatihi fayu'taun. Yani, the bankrupt person that he means here is the person who will be bankrupt on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The person who will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah having performed salat and fasting and charity. They did a lot of good deeds. But they have verbally abused this person, and they have slandered this person, and they have taken the wealth of this person, and they have beaten this person. And they did a lot of wrongs to other people. In all of their salat and zakat and siyam, all the good deeds they get, what? Will be taken and given to those people that they abused, that they wronged, that they transgressed against. That person will be bankrupt. Maybe they will end up with nothing. So the servant of Allah, and the abd, the human being, should be eager and diligent in this matter that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has brought to our attention. And that is, yani, that the good deeds that follow an evil deed should be of the same type. And then he says, yani, he refers back to what he mentioned, the example that he mentioned before. And as he said, and as we said before, yani, it's not obligatory, mandatory, that have to be of the same type. However, it is better, it is more befitting, and so on. Because this is, yani, more effective in erasing the consequences of the evil deeds. And here he says that this explanation, yani, from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, that it's more effective, that's why you should do it, it's better. He said that this ta'aleel, this explanation, indicates that it's not a condition that it must be of the same type, that it's not lazim, it's mandatory, but rather it is more effective. Here, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and he goes to the point of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah where he says, وَالذُنُوبُ يَزُولُ مُجَابُهَا بِأَشْيَاءٍ. And the sins, the effect of them, the consequences of them are removed by a number of things. And here he mentions مُجَابُهَا. And this word, he's expressing the word, and to be clear, the difference between مُجَاب and مُجِب. And with فَتْرَ or كَسْرَ. And these are two words that look exactly the same, but the voweling is one difference in the vowel. He said, yani, that the effects of sins, the consequences of sins are removed by mujabuha. Yani, mujabuha, the consequences are removed by different things. And he said, mujib with kasra, what is intended by is the sabab, the cause of something, and mujab with fatha means the thing that's caused. So we're talking about something causes a consequence, and the other thing is what is caused by it. These two words mean like this. So in any case, mujabaha, yani, the consequences of a person's actions are removed Yani that which their sins necessitate of punishment, and that which is the consequence of their sins, the punishment that is the result of it. This is all removed. These uqubat, which are the consequence, or which built upon the sins that a person has committed, these yani punishments are removed by different things. And here he says, وَمَحْمَا كَانَ الذَّمْبُ هُنَاكَ أَشْيَاءَ تُزِيلُ مُوجَبَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ. Yani no matter what the sin is, there are things that can remove its consequences. No matter what the sin is. And here he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah 2, yani 39th surah, which is 39 is maybe Zumar. 39th surah, 53rd ayah. It's Zumar, yeah. He said, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي أَلَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. O my servants, worshippers, who have transgressed against your own selves, who went beyond the bounds in sinning and disobedience to Allah, who asrafu, they didn't just commit a little bit of sins, they went to the extreme. And Allah is addressing, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي, say, O my servants, أَلَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, who have transgressed all bounds against their own selves, لَا تَقْنَقْتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't despair, don't give up hope of the mercy of Allah. Don't give up hope, no matter what you have done. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That Allah forgives all sins. He is the forgiving, the merciful. And this ayah right here in this tafsir is tremendous, but we don't have time to read it now. And if you can go back and look at it, in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, then it is tremendous. Very, very important ayat. Don't give up hope of the mercy of Allah, no matter what sins you have committed. Indeed, Allah is, He forgives sins. He is the forgiving, the merciful. So in this case, we're saying what? The abd, the worshipper of Allah, is in need, indeed. Is in need, indeed, no doubt about it. And this will be clarified by Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah in what comes. Yani the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in dire need. Hajatan shadidatan jiddan. Is in dire need of forgiveness from these things which are the means of removing yani the effects of sins. We are in need of these things that remove the consequences of sins. Because indeed, sins are removed. Yani the consequences of sins are removed by a number of things. And here he says that these mujab, yani the things that remove the consequences of sins, they are also called, the things that remove them are called mawani'a luhuq al-wa'id. Yani things that prevent the threat of Allah's punishment from befalling you. They are things that prevent. Allah says, if somebody does this, He will punish them severely. Well, that the occurring of that punishment could be prevented by certain things that have already been mentioned and others besides them. They are also known as mumahhisat. Yani tumahhisu al-abd min tilka al-dhunub tutahhiruhu minha. Yani they are called what? Mawani luhuq al-wa'id, things that prevent the occurrence of the threat of Allah's punishment. And they are also called mumahhisat, things that purify the person from the consequences of their sin. Tutahhiruhu, purify him. So the slave of Allah indeed is in need to know these things. What are these things? Everybody's committing sins. Some people don't know how to remove the consequences of sins. They feel doomed. There's no escape. But it's necessary that we know what these things are. Here, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentions four things. All of them are in this world. There are other things that are in the grave. And there are other things that are on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But there are four things that are in this world. He mentioned those four in this text. He mentions four of them. And we mentioned one of them, tawbah, istighfar, second one, third one, righteous deeds, the fourth one he will mention later. Yani the person who's patient with the calamities that befall them in this world. And he didn't mention this one with those because they're of a different nature, right? Yani tawbah and istighfar and doing good deeds from you. But the calamities that befall you is not from you, that's from Allah. So he left that one aside for now. But he mentions it later. So one of them, yani of those things, yani he said that he mentions four things here. Because these mumahhisat that purify a person with the consequences of their sins, there are some of them that are in this world, and there are four that he mentions in this book. And from them there are those that are in the barzakh, yani in the grave, the qabr. And there are some of them that will be on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And he mentions 10, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentions Majmu'a Fatawa, mentions 10 things that remove the consequences of sins. And we're not going to mention them now, but in any case here, in this book he mentions four of them. Al-mumahhisat. Some of them in this world, some of them in the grave, some of them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So here he mentions, yani, this wasiyah, yani in this wasiyah, in this small book, four of those things, and they're all in the dunya, in this world, and the servant must be eager and diligent in seeking these things in this world, going after them to protect himself from the consequences that, yani, inevitably will befall him if he doesn't do something about it before it's too late. One of them is a tawbah, and here the Shaykh is going to talk about tawbah, and after some little bit he's going to talk about istighfar, and I don't know how much of this we're going to be able to cover tonight. Allahu musta'an. One of them is a tawbah, and it has been confirmed in the hadith that tawbah tahdimu ma kana qablahu, that tawbah destroys, removes whatever was before. Tawbah removes the sins that you committed before you repented. Yani whoever repents from a sin, then Allah accepts his repentance no matter what the sin was. That is, if the tawbah is sincere tawbah, that includes its conditions. And here the Shaykh mentions three, which are the three fundamental conditions of tawbah, and some of the scholars have mentioned other conditions. But the three fundamental conditions is what? Nadim, wa aqla, wa azama, alla ya'ud. That the person feels remorse for that sin, wa aqla, and they separated themselves from it. They stopped doing it. Wa azama, alla ya'ud. And they made firm resolve not to go back to it. These are the essential conditions of tawbah. That a person has to stop. And they have to feel remorse. They can't be still looking back at it, enjoying, wow, I remember before I was a Muslim, I was committing sins, I was enjoying that stuff. No, there has to be remorse for that. You have to stop doing it, and you have to feel remorse. And you have to make firm resolve not to go back to it again. So if the tawbah is sincere tawbah, with fulfilling its conditions, then his sin will be forgiven no matter what the sin is. And it is not proper, befitting of the human being to fall into despair or to lose hope, or let shaitan come to him and say, your sin is not like other sins. And you committed something, khalas, you through. As a brother told me, he said, I committed so many sins. He was a Muslim. He said, I committed so many sins, I know I'm going to hell. I told him, no, this is not the way of Islam. Repent to your Lord. He said, if you know what I did, khalas, no hope for me. The Shaykh is saying, what? Don't let shaitan come to you and tell you that you did something that's so bad you can't, Allah won't accept repentance from you. There's no such thing. If a person sincerely repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what they did. And don't let shaitan come to you and say, you did this and you did this and you did such and such, and now you're coming to repent. Yani, the likes of you, there's no repentance for you. This is what shaitan would tell some people. There's no repentance for you. So that what? He can hold on to them and keep them. They will not escape from him if they think there's no hope for them. But if a person, and likewise a person who might be tested or tried because they don't have understanding of the deen of Allah, so perhaps shaitan will come to them and say, the likeness, this number of sins that you have committed, I don't think that there's any repentance for you. And this is like the story of the man who killed 99 people. And then he had a desire, his nafs had a desire for tawbah. So he went to an abid, a person who was worshipping, but he didn't have any understanding of the deen of Allah. A worshipper who was engaged in worship, in salat and ibadah and dhikr and all to the end of it. He was just involved in a lot of worship, but he had no understanding of the deen. So that man who killed 99 people, he said to them, Halli min tawbah? Is there any repentance for me? Is there any chance for me to repent? And the abid told him, the man said to him, I have killed 99 people. So the abid told him, 99 people? Laysa laka min tawbah. There's no tawbah for you. فَقَتَلَهُ وَكَمَّلَ بِهِ الْمِيَّةِ. So he said, well, if there's no hope, might as well keep on going, right? Kill him too. Made him 100. But after that, he still had a desire in his soul to repent. So then he met an alim, a scholar, a person who had knowledge of the deen. And the scholar told him, after he told him that he killed 99 people, he told him, مَا الَّذِي يَحُولُ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهَا. Yani, what is it that can separate you from tawbah? Yani, what is it that can prevent you from turning in repentance to your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, go to the land of such and such, when there are people who are worshipping Allah, and worship Allah along with them to the end of the story. And this story is very well known to all of us. Here the Shaykh tells a story. I'm going to summarize it because of the time. But he tells a story about, and he was amazed by a student of knowledge who told him the story of a person who had recently accepted Islam. And he mentions that he had been working in Dawah, yani by way of the internet, and that more than 300 people accepted Islam through him. And he said that he was corresponding by the internet with a lady who said that she was convinced completely that Islam is the deen of the truth. And he told her, so what prevents you then from entering? And she said, Yani, basically that I'm a person who's always engaged in dancing and Yani illegal sexual activities and alcohol and such and such and so and so, and I don't think that a person like me, that this beautiful deen of Islam will accept them. There's no place for a person of this kind of filth, wa alaykum salam, like me. In any case, the brother, Yani, it's a little bit long and I'm trying to summarize it as best I can. He said to her, let me ask you a question and answer me honestly. He said, how many people have you killed? Yani, have you killed 40 people or 50 people or 30 people or whatever? She said, I haven't killed anybody, not even one person. I never killed anybody. Then he sent her a hadith of the man who killed 99 people and he repented and Allah accepted his repentance and she entered Islam instantly. After this, the Shaykh says, Yani, if a person repents to Allah with sincere repentance, Yani, sadiqah, truthful and sincere to Allah, then his repentance will wipe away his sins, no matter what the sin is. However, shaitan, sometimes, if he finds a person that is Yani, ready to repent and turn their life around, then he will enter upon him with this Yani, line of the sins that you have committed is not like other sins. Yani, your sins are outrageous, your sins are whatever, therefore there's no repentance for you. But the Shaykh is saying, Yani, that if shaitan comes to a person and tells them there's no way for repentance for them, they should know that this is a trick from shaitan. So what is important here, فَشَّاهِدْ التَّوْبَ تَجُبُّ مَا قَبْلَهَا. Yani, repentance removes whatever has been done of sins before that. It removes it, it demolishes it, no matter what the sin was. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and look, the Shaykh says, look at the sins, these major sins that he mentions in this ayat, in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 68, 69, and 70. He mentions this ayat to make us to see that no matter how the great magnitude of the sins, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person repents to him, Allah accepts sincere repentance and he relieves them of it. He mentions the ayat in the Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ. This is from Yani, the description of Ibad al-Rahman. In this surah, there's a long series of ayats talking about the Ibad al-Rahman. And here he says what? From amongst those ayats, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ. Those who, the Ibad al-Rahman, those who do not call upon, do not worship any other God along with Allah. They don't fall into shirk. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And they do not kill a person that Allah has made haram. Yani, except with the right according to the Sharia, that a person is allowed to kill somebody for something that Allah has allowed. Yani, they committed murder, they can be murdered. Yani, within the law and under the guidance of the rulers. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. And they don't commit zina. Yani, he mentions here three of the worst sins. Yani, shirk, murder, and zina. These are filth. Naam. Here the Shaykh said these are major sins, the greatest of the great sins. Yani, the most severe of the major sins. But if the ruling concerning them is what it is, then what about those things that are less than that? So he mentions the ayat again, those who do not call upon others besides Allah, they don't kill a human being that Allah has prohibited, nor do they commit zina. And by the way, in the Arabic script here, and in the transcript of this book, in this second mention of the ayat, part of the ayat is incomplete, so please look at it carefully. He says, after mentioning these three sin, these three matters, he says, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَى أَثَامًا. Whoever does these things, then they will meet, يعني أَثَامًا, يعني the consequences of their sins. وَيُضَعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. And their punishment will be multiplied on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, and they will remain permanently in this condition of disgrace. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ. Except the person who repents. And whoever repents to Allah, Allah accepts their repentance, no matter if it's shirk, no matter if it's murder, no matter if it's zina, no matter what the sin is. Whoever turns to Allah sincerely, repenting to Allah sincerely, then Allah will accept their repentance. And here, the Shaykh goes back to the ayat, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ, except the one who repents. وَآمَنَ, and believes, establishes their iman. وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, and then follows it by doing righteous deeds. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا. And this part of the ayat is tremendous. The tafsir of this ayat is tremendous. And at some point we have to take some time out just to read it on another occasion. Yani, whoever then repents to Allah and believes, establishes iman, and follows it with righteous good deeds, then these, يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Then Allah will exchange their evil deeds for good deeds. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. And in brief, the scholars of tafsir give two main explanations of this part of the ayah, that Allah will exchange their deeds. Some of them say, meaning that Allah, if the person repents, Allah will exchange the sins that they used to do, He will make them start doing good deeds now. Their life will change. And they used to do bad things, they used to do shirk, now they are upon tawheed. They used to drink alcohol, now they stop drinking alcohol. They used to do whatever, now they're doing good deeds in place of evil. That's one of the tafsirs from the scholars of the sunnah. And the other tafsir, which is the greater tafsir, and is tremendous, is that Allah will actually exchange their sins in their record. He will take them out and put good deeds there, in place of the sins that they committed. And there's a hadith, and Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di mentioned in his tafsir, tremendous hadith that points to this meaning, that a man will be taken account of on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and Allah, when he's taken account of his sins, he will be exchanging. And he take this out of the record and put a good deed in. And the man will say, wait a minute, Allah, there's some more sins I got that you didn't mention. Why is he saying that? You want to get them exchanged too. Huh? And the Prophet ﷺ smiled at this, right? Because this is tremendous. That Allah's generosity, His mercy is so great that He's taken a person's sins and not just removing them, but actually putting in their place good deeds. And this tafsir, and this explanation, and this hadith, which is a sahih hadith, needs to be reviewed. It's tremendous. Naam. So whoever repents and does righteous deeds, يعني ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله إما تاب. يعني whoever repents and does righteous deeds, and indeed he has turned to Allah with true repentance. And the Shaykh, he makes dua here, اللهم اجعلنا ممن يتوب إليك متابا يا رب العالمين. Ameen. And may Allah make us, O Allah, make us of those who turn to you with true repentance, O Lord of the worlds. The Shaykh says, وَثَانِي. Yani the Shaykh says, وَثَانِي. And the second thing that removes the consequences of sins is استغفار من غير توبة. Yani the person who seeks forgiveness, even if they didn't repent. He said, how many of us have fallen short in reference to استغفار, in spite of the fact, أَنَّ أَمْرَ الْاستغفار عَجَبْ. Even though this affair of seeking forgiveness is an amazing affair, and how many of us have abandoned it? We haven't taken advantage of it. How often do we say, astaghfirullah, Allahumma gfirli, Rabbi gfirli? How often are we saying this? Yani we have fallen short in this matter. That's what he's saying. Yani whoever reads the hadith of the excellence and the status of istighfar, then this is an amazing matter. What is sufficient for us is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Tuba liman wajada fi sahifatihi yawm al-qiyamah. And this word yawm al-qiyamah is not actually in the hadith, but the Shaykh is explaining that this is taking place on yawm al-qiyamah. Istighfaran kathira. Yani tuba liman wajada fi sahifatihi istighfaran kathira. Yani that tuba will be for the one who finds in his record, any meaning on yawm al-qiyamah, a lot of istighfar. And this hadith also requires an explanation. We don't have time to explain it now, but the meaning of it is, يعني توبة is the ism tafdil. يعني the feminine ism tafdil from طيب. طيب يعني أطيب, the most pure, right? The most good. The feminine of it is توبة. Like الوصية الصغرى. صغرى, الكبرى, توبة. It's the feminine ism tafdil, meaning the superlative form of that which is طيب, which is pure and good. توبة will be for the one who finds on يوم القيامة in his record, recorded in place, a lot of istighfar. And maybe people make istighfar without sincerely doing it for Allah, yani without from their heart asking Allah, maybe they will find nothing in their records. But the one who asks Allah sincerely for istighfar and has found his record in Yawm al-Qiyamah, tawbah for this one. What is tawbah? Some of the scholars say the good condition. What's more famous is that it is Jannah, or it is a shajara mashhura fil Jannah. Yani a famous tree, a well-known tree that's in Jannah. Tawbah liman wajada fi sahifatihi istighfarun kathira. Yani Jannah will be for the one who finds in his record on Yawm al-Qiyamah a lot of istighfar. Yani it counted. Allah accepted it. He forgave them. They will be in good condition on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This hadith is sufficient. نستغفر الله العظيم ونتوب إليه. We seek Allah's forgiveness, Allah al-Azim, and we turn to Him in repentance. And the Prophet ﷺ, in spite of the fact that رب العالمين has forgiven him his previous sins and that which will come after it, كان كثير الاستغفار. He used to make a lot of istighfar. Even though what? Allah had already forgiven his past sins and that which is to follow. حتى to the extent that Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه said in a hadith, I haven't seen anyone who is making istighfar more than the Messenger of Allah, who is saying more than the Messenger of Allah, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. I haven't seen anyone who's saying this more than the Messenger of Allah, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. How many times are we saying it in a day? And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, what? The second of these matters after tawbah is istighfar, even if the person didn't repent. For this reason, it is incumbent upon the human being, and yaj'al da'iman ala lisani al-istighfar. Yani it's incumbent upon us to constantly be asking Allah, but sincerely, be asking Allah for forgiveness of our constant sinning. Yani saying, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. And a person should do this frequently. And it also came in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma asbaha ghadata yawm illa istaghfara Allah 100 marra. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never reached the morning. He never woke up in the morning except that he would ask Allah's forgiveness 100 times every morning. How many times do we ask Allah's forgiveness in the morning? I'm saying that to us to remind us that we have fallen short. And for what? If we realize we have fallen short, we have to do better. And you don't just listen to this. Don't just read these hadith and keep on going with business as usual. This, not to mention, is seeking of forgiveness, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yani in the majalis, in the sittings. Abdul ibn Umar said, the Shaykh didn't mention this, Abdul ibn Umar said, that I counted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, in this hadith, 100 times in one sitting. And we sat for a little while, and I counted him saying astaghfirullah too in one sitting, not to mention whatever he said in the rest of the day, in his sittings, and at the end of the salat seeking forgiveness, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, and at the end of Hajj seeking forgiveness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sealed the whole of his life, the end of his life, with this saying, Allah. This hadith narrated from Aisha, Allahumma ghfirli, and in the narration of Bukhari, say Allahumma ghfirli warhamni walhiqni bil rafiq al aala. O Allah, forgive me. O Allah, forgive me and have mercy upon me and join me with Ar-Rafiq Al-A'la. And this expression, and the Most High Companion, has different interpretations. Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajj said that the best interpretation of it, it means those that are mentioned in the ayat, yani the martyrs, I mean the prophets and the martyrs and the righteous, yani like this. He said, in any case, there's some difference of opinion about it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the supplication he ended his life with. The end of his life, he sealed his life with seeking forgiveness. And this is in spite of the fact that the Prophet ﷺ is a worshipper of Allah who has been forgiven his past sins and those which are to come. Shaykh al-Islam, again, he says what? And the Shaykh is repeating. Wathani, the second thing that removes the consequences of sins, is istighfar. Even if the person didn't repent. For indeed Allah the Most High may forgive you, yani, just by answering your supplication, if you ask him to forgive you, even though you didn't repent. And it's mentioned in the Hadith Qudsi, yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, Ya Ibn Adam, innaka ma da'awtani wa raja'awtani ghafartu laka ma kana minka wa la ubali. That, O son of Adam, O human being, as long as you call upon me and you have hope in me, I will have forgiven you whatever you have done. And it doesn't even matter. Wa la ubali. Allah doesn't even care. It's okay, he'll forgive you. Ya Ibn Adam, O son of Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك أنان السماء. Yani even if your sins reach the clouds in the sky, ثم استغفرتني, and then you saw forgiveness of me, غفرت لك, I've already forgiven you. And if you ask Allah's forgiveness sincerely, Allah جل شأنه من أسمائه, yani from Allah's names is الغفور. يحب الغفران, he loves to forgive. يغفر الذنوب سبحانه وتعالى ويجيب الدعاء. He forgives sins and he answers dua. And you're saying astaghfirullah, this is a request from Allah. This is a dua. The seen in astaghfirullah, in the beginning of this word, the seen astaghfirullah is, يعني في astaghfirullah is a talab. يعني it means I'm asking for something. I'm asking from you, O Allah, to forgive me. And Allah subhanahu وتعالى لا يرد من دعاه وَلَا يُخَيِّبْ مَنْ نَجَاهُ. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reject, he does not turn down the one who calls upon him, and he does not disappoint the one who calls to him, yani in private, in secret. He doesn't disappoint. He doesn't leave a person who puts their hands up empty-handed. قَالَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى قَدْ يَغْفِرُ. Yani he said, yani Shaykh al-Islam said that Allah the Most High perhaps would forgive a person just because he answers that person's dua even if they didn't repent. And if these two are combined, both tawbah, repentance, and seeking forgiveness, then this is the most complete and perfect way to do it. Yani if a person combines repentance and istighfar, yani qala muqarriran mustaghfiran, that a person repeatedly ask Allah's forgiveness with consciousness of heart and mind, presence of heart and mind, yani thinking about what you're saying, who are you speaking to, knowing the magnitude and greatness and the magnificence of the one that you're asking for forgiveness, that he forgives, he is ghafoor, he is ghaffar, he is tawwab, naam. This is Allah that you're calling upon. As long as that person asking Allah's forgiveness, yani if he combines this forgiveness in addition to that with repentance, yani he's ta'ib, yani repenting from his sins, muqliya, abandoning those sins, nadim, yani feeling remorse for those, for what he has done. Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah said, the one who does this, then this is al-kamal. And this topic is quite lengthy, and the rest of what we mentioned in the text today is like a few more pages. It's a lot. So, we're going to stop here. I just want to mention a couple of points quickly, and then, if there's any questions, we'll take some questions, inshallah. And related to what we have said tonight, if there's some question, something that's unclear. Okay, I want to mention here that there are a lot of supplications in the book Hisn al-Muslim, or in the book Al-Adhkar Imam Nawawi, and a lot of books that the scholars have written concerning these kind of matters. It is incumbent upon us to go to those books and to memorize some of those sayings. And if we didn't memorize them, just highlight them and carry the book with you. Keep it in your pocket and say them and use them as much as possible. And I mention here, as we close, one of the best of what has been narrated concerning seeking forgiveness. What would it be? Sayyid Istighfar. Sayyid Istighfar. And this hadith is narrated from Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, Sayyid al-Istighfar. Yani the Prophet named this supplication Sayyid al-Istighfar, the master of seeking forgiveness. Yani you want to ask Allah's forgiveness, you can say Rabbighfirli. You can say Allahumma ighfirli. You can say Astaghfirullah. You can say a lot of things. But the master of seeking forgiveness, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to say Allahumma anta Rabbi. Oh Allah, you are my Rabb. You are my Rabb. Yani what do you start with? Acknowledging that He's the Rabb al-Alameen. Allahumma anta Rabbi. La ilaha illa anta. And there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except you. Khalaqatani wa ana abduk. You have created me and I am your abd, your servant, your worshipper. Wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'adika mastata'at. And I am, upon your ahd, the covenant with you. وَوَعْدِكَ and the promise that you have promised to us, I will stick to it as best as I can. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِن شَرِّ مَا صَنَعْتُ, that I seek refuge in you from the evil of what I have done. أَبُو لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ وَأَبُو بِذَنْبِي, and I confess to you, that you have given me your favors, your ni'mah upon me, and I also confess my disobedience to you, my sins. After saying this, he said what? فَغْفِرْلِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. So forgive me. Indeed, there is no one who forgives sins except you. There is no one who forgives sins. Not your mother or your father. Not the Pope or the President or the King. Only the Lord of the worlds. This hadith is reported in Bukhari. And the Prophet ﷺ gave us this supplication and he said, وَمَنْ قَالَهَا مِنَ النَّهَارِ مُوقِنًا بِهَا, and whoever says this in the daytime, being certain of what you're saying, that this is a fact, that if you say this, believing this, then Allah will respond to you. Whoever says this in the daytime, مُوقِنًا بِهَا, being certain of it, فَمَاتَ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُمْسِي, and he dies before he reached the evening, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Then this person is from the people of Jannah. وَمَنْ قَالَهَا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُوَ مُوقِنٌ بِهَا, and whoever says it in the night, and they are certain on yaqeen of the fact of this, فَمَاتَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُصْبِحَ, and they died before they reached the morning, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Naam. Shall we stop here? سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.